This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Time for the first of our weekly catch-ups of 2025 with RNIB Chief Executive Matt Stringer here on RNIB Connect Radio to talk about what's been happening around the organisation and, of course, news and topics relating to life as a blind or partially sighted person. Hello, Matt. Happy New Year and thank you for joining me this week.
Hello, Toby. Good to speak to you. I can't believe it's already January the 10th. We're already sort of a third of the way through January, but happy New Year to you.
Let's, I suppose, first talk about World Braille Day, which happened on the 4th of January. I mean, obviously, we had a lot of content here on the station about Braille, but there was also a lot of coverage in the media. There was a lot that the RNIB was doing around World Braille Day.
Yeah, I mean, Braille 200th anniversary, it was, you know, one of the reasons why the RNIB came into being in the first place in the 1860s because of supporting ways for people to access reading materials at the time, which Braille was one of the options, which ultimately won out against other potential solutions. And so, you know, Braille was critical to the origin of the RNIB and has been an integral part of our work over 155 years. So for us to be, you know, very involved, you know, in the UK in celebrating World Braille Day on the 4th of Jan is only absolutely appropriate. I think, as the listeners will know, we did a very good event at the British Library back in November with a really interesting panel of people from sort of youngsters showing how they were using Braille in their lives, you know, and saw it as a really critical tool to access information and help through to, you know, David Blunkett, you know, good friend of the RNIB, all the way through his political career, now in his 70s, very active politically still. Yeah, he was using it. So that was back in November. Clearly what we've done in the new year is celebrate, as you say, the actual day, which was the 4th of January. And I'm sure the listeners will have seen on a variety of sort of channels, we've had people talking about it, Dave Williams particularly, on various telly programmes over the weekend, the breakfast sopers and those sorts of things, you know, again, making the points I've made about the criticality of it and how tens and tens of thousands of people in the UK, never mind globally, you know, use Braille as an integral part of their daily life. And it's critical to hold down a job, be able to access information for education, be able to access content for pleasure. You know, we still send out a lot of Braille library books to people who can commission those from us, you know, to get access to up-to-date reading material. So, you know, it's a critical medium. And I think we've done some good stuff on social media. You know, I think, you know, using people like our great Paralympians, Scarlett and Eliza, the twins who, you know, we spoke to after the Paralympics, great swimmers, talking about how they use Braille, you know, in their A-level students looking to go to university, you know, and how it's important for them. And then you've got some other people, maybe slightly older people, talking about how they use it maybe for slightly more sort of pursuing hobbies and things. So, you know, it's critical. We've got a whole ton of activity through, you know, before, during, and now after the actual event on the 4th of January to keep celebrating Braille. We're very proud of our heritage in it, and we'll be very, you know, sort of visible in pushing, you know, the continued use of Braille nationally going forwards.
Well, we'll come a bit later to our, obviously, our website address where you'll find out about more events that are happening for Braille 200 from the RNIB. We had a visit this week, Matt, from Tim Davey, the Director General of the BBC, which I think went very well. What sort of things were you and Tim talking about?
No, it was great for Tim to find 90 minutes of visitors on Wednesday this week. We came to our Grimaldi office in London, which is a great backdrop to be able to showcase a number of things around accessibility, you know, both in the physical environment and technology. He was particularly taken with Navilens codes, actually. But, you know, it's a great backdrop to talk accessibility generally. And just linking to the previous item, you know, we have a sort of rotating permanent archive display in our office in London. We have a very rich archive over 150 years, and we sort of surfaced out of our archive a lot of evidence of the RNIB and the BBC working closely together over many years. So we had things like a Braille copy of the Radio Times from 1927 and one from the 1980s. We had some evidence of things we've been doing with sort of Women's Hour and Children's Hour in the 1960s. And then we also had some of the sort of long playing records, which was the way that we, you know, used to circulate audiobooks back in the sort of interwar sort of years. So a lot of very rich heritage showing the organisations working together actually over a century, really. We're a bit older than the BBC. The BBC's been going about 100 years, hasn't it? So for most of its time, we've been working closely with them. It was great to show that to Tim. In terms of meaningful discussions, I mean, we've been working with the BBC in a number of things. So we went to meet Tim and his team in the summer. This is a sort of return visit now. And we've got a number of people who've been working closely with people in the BBC around accessibility of technology, around accessibility of BBC processes and applications. So, for example, we've been advising on trying to make the license fee application process as accessible as possible, which is improving. I think the particular opportunities for us at the moment are really to try and engage with the BBC current affairs teams, both nationally and regionally, and then the devolved nations, to really push matters around eye health. And that was one of the things we were discussing particularly, and we've been doing some work on that. And there's opportunity for us, as I say, both nationally and regionally, to engage the BBC to really try and push issues around eye health, particularly relevant, you know, within the context of the national sort of NHS big conversation happening at the moment, really trying to make the point about eye health being a critical part of what the Labour government is now trying to do. So we were discussing that. And then, you know, I've hinted at technology. We've been doing some work with the BBC on audio description and how AI can help us really make a step change in the provision of audio description and by doing so improve, you know, the sort of quantity and quality of the accessibility of all sort of BBC broadcasts. There's a programme underway at the moment, which we've been working on with them, which is due to come to a head sometime in sort of summer. So we were talking about that and recognising that, you know, there is a big moment in time coming in the summer where we should have some really quite interesting output from that programme. I think to give Tim his credit, you know, he's a very genuine supporter of improving accessibility, both in terms of, you know, the broadcast part of it, the programmes through whatever media, radio, TV, you know, nationally, locally. I think he's really keen to push the depiction of people of disability, disabled people, you know, across programmes, you know, whether that's in storylines in programmes. We talked about Chris McCausland on Winning Strictly, Rose Ayling previously, clearly was won it 2 years ago. And we talked about that. And we talked about opportunities to try and improve employment chances within the BBC for disabled people as well. And we've got some actions to follow up where some of our knowledge around employment could be useful. So I think he sees us as a genuinely rich partner, actually, you know, who's very credible in our space, know what we're talking about, got a good track record of delivering some things with them so far, and one or two really interesting projects underway, which should land in the summer. As I say, great to be using the Grimaldi building to have those conversations, because we can showcase a lot of that capability as we're having the conversations. And I think, Toby, you enjoyed having a 10-minute interview with him, which will go out on Connect Radio at some point as well.
Yeah, no, it was a really good interview with him. And I think it sounds like a really good meeting. And I hope, you know, we'll hear a little bit more about that programme later in the year. And you will find a wide range of information and advice on living with sight loss, along with details about how the RNIB is celebrating Braille 200 on the RNIB website, which is rnib.org.uk. You can always, of course, call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999 or use your Amazon smart device to call the RNIB helpline too. Well, thank you so much indeed, Matt, for chatting with me this week here on RNIB Connect Radio.
No, my pleasure, Toby. And I think with the Braille event and with the BBC visit, it shows, you know, we sort of hit the ground running in January. There's no time off, you know, we game on straight away. But two really important things, and good to be able to talk to you about them this week. Thanks for having me.